public holiday, and people would of course take advantage of a day like this to go out and have a good time to party or a good time to holiday. But I'm very, very thankful to the Lord that you are here today. It shows that you know the importance of this day, Good Friday, the day on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. I trust this morning that as we meditate on God's word, we may all be very grateful to him for all that he did for us, and then express our gratitude to him through our service unto him. Now the message today is the power of his precious blood, the power of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And my text, first of all, is based on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And these two verses, as have been read already, are found on the third page of the program sheet today at the bottom. I read again to you these two verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. To redeem means to buy back. We are not bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. The vain conversation here would refer to the empty way of life, the life that leads, of course, to eternal destruction and eternal hell, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we have not been purchased or not been redeemed with gold or silver or anything that perishes, but with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Animal blood is served as a food in many countries, both Eastern as well as Western countries. I was quite surprised when I went into the net and found that many Western countries also eat blood. Yes, animal, but cow's blood. I'm not sure whether they eat pig's blood or not. But when I was a teenager, I used to eat pig's blood, and I ate it with pig's offal and with salted vegetable. And in Teochew, we say, tu huang kiam chai. It really was quite nice, actually. Yes, but I stopped eating blood when I became a Christian and learned that blood is precious in the sight of the one true living God. And God actually forbids the eating of blood. In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, we read that after the global flood, this was the instruction that God gave to Noah and his descendants. This was what God said to him and his descendants. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall it not eat? Shall it not eat? Now, before the flood, man was vegetarian. But after the flood, he was allowed to eat meat. But the blood must be drained off from the meat, from the animal, before man could consume the meat. Now, the reason for not consuming blood is that blood is precious in the sight of the one true living God. Yes, even though it might be the blood of animals, but the blood of animals, the blood of men, blood is precious in the sight of the one true living God. And we read further in Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, I read for you, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. In other words, I require an account for the lifeblood. I require an account of the lifeblood from you. At the hand of every beast will I require. I require this account from beasts. I require an account of the lifeblood from men. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now if a man shed the blood of another man, his blood was required by the one true living God. But blood for blood. Now, this teaching for capital punishment is well laid out in God's word. But man always tries to be very, very smart. So to many people in the world today, capital punishment is regarded as barbaric. It is not, friends, it is not barbaric. Blood is precious in the sight of God, and God laid down this law for capital punishment. Why? Because God wants to preserve life. That's why. Yes, the payment of one's life is exacted if one took away the life of another. So, the blood of animals is precious in the sight of God. The blood of man is precious in the sight of God, even though it might be the blood of a sinner. And what about the blood of saints, of God's very own? Of course, it is most precious in the sight of God. And God says this in regards to the death of saints. In Psalm 116, verse 15, God says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Surely the blood of God's very own is most precious in his sight. Now you think of the many martyrs who shed their blood for the sake of the gospel. Will not God avenge the blood against those who shed their blood? Of course, my dear friends, God will surely avenge the blood of his saints. He surely will. Now, so we see the blood of animals is precious in God's sight. The blood of man is precious in God's sight. Even the man is a terrible sinner, his blood is precious in God's sight. And the blood of saints is precious in God's sight. Now, what about the blood of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How precious is it? Friends, his precious blood is infinitely precious in the sight of the one true living God. Yet, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. He redeemed us, bought us back, as the Word of God says, not with silver, not with gold, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of his only begotten Son. Now, when we think of Christ shedding his precious blood, I'd like us to be very clear about one thing. It is not only the only begotten Son of God that shed his precious blood. God was also involved in the shedding of this blood. Now, this teaching is very clearly given to us in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. If you look at your program sheet, the second verse on page 4. Yes, I read that verse for you. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which God hath purchased with his own blood." The "he" there refers to God. If you read that passage, the few verses preceding this verse, you will understand that the "he" here actually refers to God. So, God hath purchased his church with his own blood. Paul was at that time talking to the elders from Ephesus. He was giving them instructions on how to look after the church after he departed from that church. He said to the elders, "Feed the church of God, which God hath purchased with his own blood." So, friends, understand this truth. God has purchased us with his own blood. When Jesus shed his precious blood for us, let us remember that God has purchased us with his own blood. Now, this morning, I'd like us to consider the power of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First, let's talk about the redeeming power of his precious blood. The redeeming power of his precious blood. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to redeem us from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of the law. That's number one. It has the power to redeem us from the curse of the law, the condemnation of the law. Now, let's understand. All of us are under God's laws. Whether you like it or not, unbelievers, anybody, everyone is under God's laws. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you are under God's laws. And we must all do the works of the law perfectly if we want to live. In other words, if we want to have everlasting life, we must do the works of the law perfectly. Galatians 3:12 is not in the program sheet. I read for you. "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." In other words, if a man wanted to have everlasting life and he thinks that he may be able to attain everlasting life by observing the laws, the requirement is that he must obey the laws perfectly, 100%. all the time, every minute, every second. And therefore, my dear friends, the law becomes a curse. The law condemns us. That is why it is a curse. It condemns us, because for sure we are not able to obey God's laws 100% all the time, every minute, every second. There we say that we have never told a lie. There we say that we have never been covetous. I dare say, my dear friends, all of us have ever experienced lying and have experienced being covetous. I dare say that. But some people say that they are not condemned because they have done no evil. Yes, the other day we went out street evangelism. I spoke to this man. I said, "Have you committed any sin before?" He said, "No, I've never committed any sin." He said, "No." Well, by that, I suppose he meant that he had never stolen in a big way. He had never committed adultery physically. He had never committed arson. He had never actually physically committed murder. But friends, I would like to ask such people who think that they have never committed evil this question: do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? That's God's law for us. Yes, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Friends, we fail for sure, because we do not love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength all the time, 100%, all the time, every minute, every second of the day. We surely have broken God's laws. The law, therefore, is a curse. It condemns us if we depend on our good works to be saved in the sight of God. Galatians 3:10, not found in the program sheet, I read for you. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." In other words, as many as depend on their good works to be saved, they are under the curse. Anybody who tries his very, very best to be saved by his good works is under the curse. It is condemned. He is condemned. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You see, cursed is everyone. Condemned is everyone that continueth not. Continuous not. The words are continuous not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It is a curse. Yes, the law is a curse to us simply because we are not able to obey the laws of God 100%. What a burden it must be for people who try to attain salvation by trying to observe the laws of God. Yes, to attain salvation, it is really a curse. It is a great, great burden. Because even if they try their very, very best, they will never be able to achieve obeying God's laws 100%. Now, for the Jews in the Old Testament, it must be a great burden to try to obey the laws. Yes, they understood the laws, but it was still a great burden to obey the laws. When they broke the laws in those days, they had to bring an animal to sacrifice in the temple or in the tabernacle. And when they broke the law again, they had to bring another offering to the temple to offer unto the one true living God. It was so burdensome. But these offerings were made for sins that were known to them. Yes, they had known that they had broken God's laws, and they brought in these offerings to atone for their sins. Now, what about those sins that were unknown to them? Sins that they sinned out of ignorance, and it was entirely possible that they could sin out of ignorance. They went out in those days, of course, like we do, to rub shoulders with people in the world, and in the course of rubbing shoulders with people in the world, we could unknowingly sin. We could unknowingly be covetous, or we could unknowingly lie. Yes, we forgot. We were not attentive, and we lied, and we were covetous. And be seen in ignorance. There was a possibility that the Jews were guilty of that. And so they had to bring in an offering for the sin that they committed in ignorance. So they must continually bring in their offerings for all their sins, known sins and unknown sins. What a great burden it was. And they were very, very fearful that if they didn't do that, They will be cut off from God's people. They will be cut off from God's congregation if their sins were not cleansed. But thank God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the condemnation of the law. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. This verse is found in the program sheet, verse 13. All right, the third verse, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I think it's good for us to read this verse together. Ready, go. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. How did he redeem us from the curse of the law? He has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, by dying for us on the cross of Calvary, by bearing your sin and bearing my sin on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, he took your place and he took my place to die for us. Yes, in fact, the word of God says that he was made sin for us by the one true living God. In other words, God made Jesus to be our sin offering. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews were bringing in the animal as the sin offering. But God has made Jesus to be our sin offering. Yes, to pay for our sins, to bear our sins. Now, it is impossible for us to understand how God could make his son to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But friends, it is true. The word of God says so. Yes, God made him to be sin for us. And as our sin offering, of course, he shed his precious blood for us. He shed his precious blood to redeem us unto himself from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of the law. Now the question is, have you come to the foot of the cross yet? Where you can definitely say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Can you say that? Today, can you say that, I've actually come to the foot of the cross already, and I've recognized that Christ was made a curse for me. He has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And today, I'm not depending on my good works to be saved, but I'm depending on that precious blood that was shed for me on the cross of Calvary to be saved. Can we say that? Now, if you cannot say that and you haven't done so, my dear friends, why do you come today? Come to the foot of the cross and recognize that Jesus was made a curse for you. Yes, he has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Recognize that and ask for his precious blood to cleanse you of all sins, to make you pure before him. Now, let us consider next the atoning power of his blood. We've considered the redeeming power of his blood. Now let's consider the atoning power of his blood. Atoning means covering or reconciling. All right? Covering or reconciling power of his blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, found in the program sheet also. Verses 10 and 11, I read for you these two verses. And whosoever and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood. You see, eateth any manner of blood, all kinds of blood. I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh a reconciliation for the soul. Now, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel would bring an animal offering into the temple or into the tabernacle to sacrifice. And the blood of the animal was the thing that made atonement for the soul. The Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. No forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no reconciliation between man and God. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 20, 22 is found in the program sheet. Yes, Hebrews 9, 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Yes, blood must be shed for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sin. The blood of the animal, of course, pointed to the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even the Lamb of God that was shed in the New Testament. Now, it was not the blood of animals, not the blood of bulls that could take away sins. You know, the Jews, when they brought in the animal sacrifices in those days, could not expect the blood of the animals to take away their sins. Now, when they brought in the animals, they had to actually, by faith, look forward to the day when God would provide for himself a sacrifice, his own offering, the offering of his only begotten Son, for them to be saved, for their sins to be atoned. So it is not the blood of bulls, of animals per se, that could take away their sins, but rather it was the blood, the precious blood of God's only begotten Son. Now, this is the blood that makes atonement for us, so that we may be at one with God. Now, in case you forget the meaning of the word atonement, because it is quite a big word, just remember that in English, the word atonement is made up of three syllables, right? At one month. Correct? Atonement, at one month. Now, friends, for our sins to be atoned, for our souls, for the blood of Christ to atone for our sins, let us remember that when it does that, we would be at one with God. At one man, at one with God. So if you forget what atonement means, just remember this. Atonement means to be at one with God, reconciled to God. No amount of good works, no amount of confessions, no amount of repentances, no amount of penances that we do can ever make us to be at one with God. The question for all of us is this: have we been made at one with God yet? If you have not been made at one with the one true living God, you know you are actually God's enemy. You are not at one with him. You are his enemy, and you are his enemy because of your sin. Yes, it is your sin that separated you from the one true living God. And as I said this before, if you work in a company and the boss of the company is your enemy, I say you might as well call it quits. Leave the company immediately. You will have no prospect in the company at all. No future at all. The boss is your enemy. Now let's say today you live in Russia, all right, and President Putin is your enemy. I say you are in serious trouble. Yes, you are in serious trouble, because your life will be in grave danger, because Putin is a very, very powerful man. He can take your life away. But think of it, friends. What if you have God as your enemy? The one true living God, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, if you are not at one with him, he is your enemy. And if he is your enemy, you are doomed for all eternity. And that's the truth, my dear friends. You are separated from him for all eternity. But thank God, the precious blood of his only begotten Son has the power to enable us to be at one with him. The precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes atonement for our soul. Yes, it causes us, enables us to be at one with him. So, friends, have you trusted in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to make atonement for you before the one true living God? Then, friends, do you not see the preciousness of the blood of Christ? It is really very, very precious. Do you not see it as being precious, making atonement for your sins? Are the gold and the silver and the money of the world more precious to you than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it, my dear friends. What is more precious to us? The gold, the silver, or the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think for a moment. The Lord says this: you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. If you love one, you will surely hate the other. You cannot love both at the same time. Now, if mammon has captivated your heart, the blood of Christ will mean nothing to you. Actually, it means nothing to you if mammon has captivated your heart. But listen to the testimony of this very, very rich man, who, of course, had already passed away, J. Pierpont Morgan, J.P. Morgan, all right, that famous man who did not allow his riches to captivate his heart. Mammon was not his god. In the early 1900s, his financial clout was so great that the financial decisions that he made would be very, very earth-shaking in the U.S. But before he died, he left a will. He was a very godly man. He left a will that had 10,000 words and 37 articles. But there was one transaction that stood up very, very clearly. He said this in his will. I read for you. I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior. Imagine this was a very, very rich man talking. All right, J.P. Morgan. I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that having redeemed me and washed me with his most precious blood, he will present me faultless before the throne of my heavenly Father. I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazard and at any cost of personal sacrifice the blessed doctrine of complete atonement of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ once offered and through that alone. In other words, he said, my children, my descendants, yes, I entreat you to defend this blessed doctrine of complete atonement of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. That was what was said by this very, very rich man. This rich man understood that all the riches in the world could not get him one single bit of blessing that is eternal. He realized that, yes. And he realized, of course, that only the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could enable him to be at one with God. So, my dear friends, I ask all of us again this question. Have you been made at one with the one true living God yet? Through his precious blood, have you? Next, let us look at the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Now, it has the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse our defiled and our unclean conscience. Hebrews 9:14. This is found in the program sheet also. Hebrews 9:14, I read for you. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yes, this precious blood of the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has the power to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now think of a person who knows God's commandments. He thinks he can be righteous. He thinks that he can be justified if he tries to obey the laws of God. But then the harder he tries, yes, the surer he realizes that he is not able to obey God's word. He realizes that he continues to break God's laws. His conscience becomes more and more troubled. He knows that he is not righteous. He knows that he is not justified. And he's weighed down heavily by his guilt of sin. What kind of mental anguish must he be having to have this kind of a guilt that was plaguing his conscience? He needs to have his conscience purged. And how can his conscience be purged? Friends, the answer is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can purge his conscience. Do you have a troubled conscience? Do I have a troubled conscience? Now, if you have a troubled conscience, of course, you will not have peace in your heart. Yes, you know that you have not made peace to the one true living God. That's why your conscience is troubling you. This morning, my dear friends, look at the Christ of the cross, who shed his precious blood for you on the cross. Yes, realize that that blood was shed, not just for anyone, but that blood was shed for you personally. My dear friends, if you say Christ shed his precious blood for the world, that could mean nothing to you. Yes, but you say that precious blood was shed for me, and for me very personally, then the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will become many, very, very meaningful to you. Now, if you did that, if you recognize that that precious blood was shed for you personally, then his precious blood will surely cleanse your conscience of all its guilt. Yes, it will purify and heal your conscience so that you can have peace with God and peace from God, which passes all understanding. which keeps our hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Now, there are people who feel that their sins are so great that they might never be forgiven. But friends, they are depending on their feelings. They feel that their sins are so great that they can never be forgiven. But actually, they are depending on their feelings. They should rather trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ than rather than to trust their feelings for their sins to be cleansed. The devil may put doubts into you and say, "What chance have you got to be saved?" Yes, your sins are so terrible, your iniquities and your wickedness are too great to be pardonable. Now, what should your response be? Your response should be this. Yes, I've committed them. I've committed wickedness. I've committed iniquities. But God has given me this assurance. 1 John 1:7. You look at 1 John 1:7 in the program sheet. 1 John 1:7, third last verse from the bottom. Yes, I read for you. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, what cleanses us from all sin, friends? It is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can cleanse us from the guilt of sin? It is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One time, a believer, a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, brought a young believer to see me. And this new believer needed counseling. She needed assurance that her sins had been forgiven. She was very troubled. Now, what could I say to her? I could not give her any kind of assurance that her sins were forgiven. So, the Lord gave me the wisdom to turn to two verses in Holy Scriptures. And they are found here, Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. All right, now let's read these two verses, two wonderful verses together. All right, let's read them. Go. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I showed these two verses to this sister who came to me for counseling. And when she read those two verses, she was very, very gladdened. And tears of joy flowed down her cheeks. She realized that God had completely forgotten about her sins. God remembered her sins no more. It wasn't that God suffered from amnesia and forgot about her sins, but rather, God did not hold her sins against her anymore. Her sins were covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God looked at her, God saw only the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, so she was very, very glad to have realized that her sins had been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to the extent that God remembered her sins no more. Next, I'd like us to consider the preserving power of the blood of Christ. The preserving power of the blood of Christ. Now, I refer you to the last night the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt as slaves. God had sent 9 plagues already upon the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh was very stubborn. He refused to let the children of Israel go. And now God was about to send the 10th plague, and God was about to slay all the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptians. But he was going to spare the firstborn males in the homes of the Jews, of the children of Israel, provided the children of Israel would kill a lamb and then sprinkle the blood of the lamb on the door frame of their homes. That was the requirement from the one true living God. Yes. Now, this was what God said to them. Exodus chapter 12:12. God says, I will pass to the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I'm the Lord. And look at verse 13, Exodus 12:13, found at the top. Okay, I read for you. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And true to God's word, he destroyed all the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptians, but he spared the firstborn males in the homes of the Israelites. You see, God saw the blood of the lamb, and when he saw the blood of the lamb, he simply passed over and he spared the children of the firstborn males in the homes of the children of Israel from his judgment, from his wrath. So that blood preserved the firstborn males in the homes of the Israelites. Likewise, friends, the blood of the Lamb of God preserves us from the judgment of God. But first, friends, we must look at that precious blood of the Lamb ourselves for the preservation of our souls. For nothing and nothing but the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can save us. But friends, it is even more important that we understand these truths recorded in Exodus 12:13. I read that verse again to you, all right? And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, as we said, it is important that we look and see the blood. But friends, it is even more important that God sees the blood. Yes, during the time of when he sent that final plague, God saw the blood and he passed over. Today, my dear friends, God sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross of Calvary, and he passes over us. We are thus preserved from the judgment of God because of the blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary, which God himself saw. And when he saw that blood, today we are spared, my dear friends, from the judgment of God. Next, I'd like us to see the overcoming power of the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:10-11. All right, these two verses also found in the program sheet. Revelation 12:10-11. I read for you. We are talking about the overcoming power of the blood of the Lamb. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is Satan, the devil. He's referred to as the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Satan, as we said, is referred to as the accuser of our brethren. He accuses and he brings his charges against us before the one true living God. He accuses us of sinning. Now, what is the answer to all his accusations? My dear friends, if the accusations are true, of course, we must admit that they are true. We must admit that we are guilty of those sins, which, if they are true, for which Satan brings his charges against us. But friends, our answer to him would be this. All our sins have been paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lamb of God. Yes. And therefore, my dear friends, we can overcome him because our sins have been paid for by the precious blood of the Lamb. The saints in heaven tells us that they overcame, or the saints in heaven tell us that they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. There is victory in the blood of the Lamb. Now, how can we overcome sin, and how can we overcome the desire to sin? By the power of the blood of the Lamb. Are there some sinful habits that are enslaving us, and we don't seem to have the power to overcome them? The truth is, we have the power to overcome them. We have the power to overcome the desire to sin. Now, we can overcome them. How come? How is it that we are able to overcome sin and the desire to sin? The reason is this, friends. Christ, by his precious blood, has redeemed us from the slavery of sin. You see, he paid with his precious blood to redeem us from the slavery of sin. In other words, we are no longer under the dominion of sin. The Word of God tells us very, very clearly, we who are believers have been redeemed from the slavery of sin, and therefore sin has no more dominion over us. Which means this, friends, today if we choose not to sin, we will be able not to sin. And that's the truth. That's why we are able to overcome sin and to overcome the evil one. Yes. There was a man by the name of Sinclair, who was a great criminal, and he grieved his mother's heart very, very much. The mother was a very godly woman, and then Sinclair, because of his crime, went to jail. After serving his jail term, he went back to mother, and his mother asked him to sign a pledge that he would not go back to his old ways. Sinclair replied, "I've signed so many pledges, it's useless, Mom. I can sign many more pledges, these are not going to help me at all." In desperation, his mother cut one of her veins and then said to Sinclair, "Sinclair, you signed a pledge in my blood. Perhaps that will help you." Sinclair signed that pledge with mother's blood. But that didn't help him either. Then a miracle came upon Sinclair. He was converted. He became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one night, he spoke to a crowded audience. He said, "What the blood of my mother could not do, the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished. I'm a living proof of the power of his blood. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed from the slavery of sin." And so he was able to resist the desire to sin. So friends, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you really do not have to live defeated, do not have to live a defeated Christian life. Trust in the overcoming power of the Lamb of God to overcome sin and to overcome the desire to sin. Then consider, finally, the melting power of the blood of the Lamb. The melting power of the blood of the Lamb. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The last verse found on the program sheet. Yes, the Word of God says, "And I will pour upon the house of David," this is God speaking, "and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Now today, the Jews of course do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But one day they will. You see, their hardened hearts one day will be melted. A day will come when they will look back at Calvary, look back to Calvary, and they will see the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah, shedding his precious blood for them. And that blood would melt them. That blood will melt them and cause them to mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Yes, on that day they will call upon the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save them. Friends, I urge you today, if you have never looked back at Calvary, you have never looked at the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for you on the cross of Calvary, I urge you to look back and look at the Christ on the cross. Look at his precious blood that was shed for you. Is it nothing to you, my dear friends, that he should bleed for you and for me? Is it nothing to you? Do you not see the infinite love of the one true living God displayed by the shedding of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? Why don't you today, my dear friends, come to the foot of the cross and recognize that love that was displayed by Christ shedding his precious blood for you and for me, and come and trust him as Lord and Savior. This morning, on Good Friday morning, let us, friends, experience the redeeming power of his precious blood. Yes, this precious blood has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of the law. Yes, trust in this precious blood and we will no longer come under the condemnation of the law. Let us experience this morning, friends, the atoning power of his precious blood. It is by this precious blood that we are made at one with the one true living God. Let us experience, my dear friends, the cleansing power of his precious blood. It is this blood that cleanses us from all sins, so that God remembers our sins no more. He does not hold our sins against us anymore, because our sins have been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us experience, my dear friends, the preserving power of his precious blood. God sees the blood of his own Lamb, and he passes over us. Yes, let's experience, my dear friends, this preserving power of his precious blood. And this morning, let us experience, my dear friends, the overcoming power of his precious blood. By his blood, we have victory over sin and over the desire to sin, because his blood has redeemed us from the slavery of sin, and sin, therefore, does not have dominion over us any longer. And let us this morning experience the melting power of his precious blood. Come to the foot of the cross, taste his love, see his precious blood for us. And friends, let us experience this melting power of his precious blood and yield ourselves to him and say, Lord, be my Lord, my Master. I want to live for you. I want to consecrate my life to you. And if you are not a believer yet, why do you come and trust in Jesus this morning? Trust in his precious blood to save you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, thank you for your kindness and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we pray that we may all recognize this morning the power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may all of us who have called upon you experience this power. And those in our midst who have not experienced this power yet, they do not know the kind of blessings that they are missing out on. May you, O Lord, speak to their hearts and cause them to yield to you and to allow this precious blood of yours shed on the cross of Calvary to cleanse them, to reconcile them to you. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.